Good morning and welcome back to Nachyami. Today we're going to be focusing on the 15th parak of Melachim Aleph. We're now following in the footsteps of Rechavam and Yeravam. Rechavam of the king of the south, Yeravam the king of the north. They both have passed away in the last parak, and now we're following up with their children. Where is this going? How is this going to look in the next generation? Will there be more unity? Will there be more disunity? How will this work out? So we follow in the footsteps first of the south. Rechavam's son who he left behind is a person by the name of Aviyam. Is the king of Yehuda, and he rules for 3 years. His mother's name is Maacha, the daughter of Avi Shalom, and unfortunately, he did not do the right thing. He allowed in Avodah Zarah. He was not like David. He did not follow in the right path, and the war continues between the south and the north. And Tanakh is a pretty clear that this was not a good time. In fact, the Tanakh says that Hashem says Hashem only gave these children near Yerushalayim, like land, opportunity in Yerushalayim because of David. Meaning to say, the idea was that a dynasty is there would be continuity. It was only because of David that these people deserved, they got him to be a king, but not because of their own merit. Which kind of points to an underlying problem. In Sefer Shoftim, part of the problem was there wasn't continuity. So you'd have a great leader, and then there'd be a gap. And in that gap, everybody would fall back to their old ways. Here we don't have gaps, but unfortunately the people who fill those gaps are people who are not worthy necessarily of the position they were deserving. That's what Tanakh seems to be telling us over here, as the Ralbag points out. So in the meantime, after he passes away, his son, whose name is Asa, takes the kingdom. So it goes from David to Shlomo to Rechavam to Aviyam, and now Aviyam's son is Asa. And he had a 41-year length of kingdom, and he actually, I apologize, not his son, it's his brother, because he's also the son of Maacha, so he's another son of Rechavam, and he actually did very good things. So relief, we can all sigh a sigh of relief. He did Hayashar Beinei Hashem, the straight in the eyes of Hashem. He removed all these Avodah Zarah, all these worship places. In fact, it says that he even removed his mother from her place near the Asherah tree, which is an Avodah Zarah tree. It seems, as the Mepharshim point out, the Radak points out, that she herself took advantage, she became an icon of Avodah Zarah herself. So she used some sort of imagery whether it's her power or her Avodah Zarah, he had to remove her mother. Now that, just by this, shows you how incipient, how entrenched this was in society, because if you think for the moment, Maacha is the wife of Rechavam, the mother of both Aviyam and Asa. If he has to remove her from being an icon of Avodah Zarah, look how far we've come in two short generations. Okay, so he removes her, and it really sounds beautiful. The only thing that the Tanakh emphasizes is that he did not remove the Bamos, he did not remove these altars. But his heart was with Hashem. He really tried to do the right thing. What Bamos did he not remove? A Bamos again is an altar, which is not an authorized altar. It's not in the base of Migdash. So the Mepharshim will point out, it wasn't that he allowed Avodah Zarah to continue. He eradicated that. But it was the personal altars for people to serve Hashem in their own personal space that he didn't remove. And by the way, that's a pretty serious thing. As the Mepharshim point out, there's an Isser Kares. One gets excommunicated from using one of those when the Beis HaMikdash is still around. So it's a pretty serious thing. But nonetheless, he did remove all of Avodah Zarah. So it was a victory, but not a complete victory over his people. Maybe he was not able to do more at this point. It's not clear in explicitly in Tanakh. Nonetheless, the next thing that happens is, unfortunately, in the north, with a rebellion has happened. So we're just going to skip around in the Pesukim just for the sake of perspective. In the north, remember Nadav was the son of Yeravam, and Nadav now actually fights in his second to third year of kingship, has a rebellion under the hands of Baasha. Baasha is the son of Achia, who comes from the tribe of Yisachar, one of the 10 northern tribes, and he holds a rebellion and overthrows Nadav and massacres Nadav's entire family, like the prophecy that Achia HaShiloni had given to him. And Baasha takes rule. Baasha is not a good person. It's a bad person taking a bad person's place. That's what seems to be pretty clear in these psukim. Unfortunately, that seems to be the model of what's going to happen in the north for the most part. And because Baasha is in charge, one of the things that he does is he comes to the very, very southmost part of the kingdom of the north in Israel, and he starts making Vayivnes Harama. He creates a Ramah. Ramah sounds like a tall building. Levilti Tais Koach Yosef Vavah. He doesn't want to have people coming and going. What it sounds like from the Mefarshim, the Metzudas points out simply, is that this was a tower to be used on a military level to actually inflict damage to anybody passing or going to the south, and in fact to inflict damage in the south itself. So this is clearly a act of war, essentially. What does the king in the south, Asa, the contemporary of Baasha, do? So Asa takes all the money that's left in the king's treasury. Remember, a lot of that's been taken by Shishak, the king of Mitzrayim, in the last parak. But he takes the remaining wealth and sends it all the way up to the north, into the area of Assyria, to Hadad ben Tavrimon, who was the king of Aram, and says, look, we had a covenant between us and the yester generation. Why don't you come in and forget your covenant with the kings of Israel? Take this as a bribe, take this as our sign of goodwill, and help us out. And that's what he does. Hadad comes and attacks the northern part of Israel, and because now Baasha is split in resources, on the one hand he's building a war tower on the south, but now he's being attacked on the north of the kingdom in the area of Dan, so he desists from building the tower and goes to sort of fortify the northern borders with Assyria. And doing this, the king Asa then takes all of the materials that were going to use for this war tower, and he uses them to create the area of Geva in Binyamin, and he conscripts everybody, even the chasanim from there, even people who are just in their first year of marriage, to help make this fortification in between the two kingdoms. It is interesting. At the end of his days, we're told that he loses the ability to walk. Chala es raglov, his feet were sick. And he passes away and he's buried with his forefathers. The one thing which is really troubling about this section is like, you know, here we have Asa, who is calling in a non-Jewish king as a ally against a Israelite king. I mean, it sounds bad. It doesn't feel good. And what Rav Yigal Ariel points out in this section is, yes, that's exactly what's happening. Because if you go to Dira Yamim, Beis Teregat Perikta Zayin, where you see the parallel passage about this, it says that when he got sick with his feet became weakened, he called the doctors. He didn't call Hashem. And Hashem allowed him to remain sick because he didn't turn to Hashem, which in a certain sense is a microcosm of what he just did in the kingdom in the north. When he was faced with a terrible military threat, what was the first thing he did? He didn't call to Hashem. He sent to his allies in the north. And that's something which says something about us. As well intended as he was, there was something a little bit off. Similarly, you see something interesting, and that is that his predecessors, Aviam and Rechavam, who allowed Avodah Zorah to spawn, and we see the terrible devolution in the southern kingdom. At the same time, the person who's able to rectify that is the one who drives a wedge between Israel and Yehuda. There's no way now to connect those two kingdoms. It's interesting that this wall or this protection is the only way that he's able to separate himself from the northern kingdom. From now onwards, you're never going to hear about Israel being from Dan mi Be'er Sheva, from the very north to the very south. We're going to only hear about it from Be'er Sheva to Geva, which means the southern kingdom. And there's a tragedy at the same time as a victory at the same time when we're witnessing this split and this desist. In the meantime, this leaves us with the next chapter. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.